Okay, Royce, I'd like to do something a little bit different today to speak about a major Torah personality, a major tzaddik whose yahrzeit is this evening on the 21st of Adar, the Rebbe Melech Lizhensk. He was a great Hasidic leader. In our Tanya class, we learned about the Baal Shem Tov and about his Talmud, the Magid of Mezrich, and we're studying the Torahs from Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe. But there was another major school of thought, different in certain ways, equally great. And tonight is known as, it's the Yahrzeit. So I wanted just to give a little bit of background. He passed away in the year 1787, the Rebbe Melech. Very big tzaddik. Just a little bit of, there's many, you know, stories of about his greatness. I want to share from you. This is a book of translations. His book is called Noam Elimelech. This is written by a Rabbi Tal Moshe Zweklet. I remember him fondly from Oceanside many, many years ago. Wonderful conversations, a very special person. So in his introduction to some of the English pieces he translates, he brings stories about the greatness of the Rebbe Melech. He quotes from Rabbi Yosef Meir Spink, quoting from Yitzhak Isaac Zichkov, that the Rebbe achieved levels that had not existed in the world since the times of the prophets, of the Nevi'im. He quotes in the Belz Rebbe, Sar Sholem, the teshuva of Jews who repented in the past, and those who are repenting now, and those who will repent in the future, is all due to the power of Rebbe Elimelech. Amazing. He quotes the Divrei Chaim. So in the days of Yeshua, there was no one who afflicted himself with suffering as much as the Rebbe Melech. He quoted himself, said, it's a wonder that the rabbis saw through divine inspiration that the final generation would suffer so terribly. Didn't they know that Elimelech would come and nullify and sweeten the harsh degrees? So there's actually a story to tell about the Baal HaTanya, where they were asking him about the personality of the author of the Sefer, Noam Elimelech. And he said to him, he was making trouble. And he said, look, I want you to know, I keep the Sefer. I use it like underneath my stool to like to prop up. It's an uneven, the legs are uneven. So I put the Sefer on the floor. I sit on top of the Sefer on my stool to keep it, my seat from tipping over. So the Tanya said, if you would even put the author himself, if you put Rebbe Melech underneath your seat, he wouldn't say anything to you. That's the extent of his tremendous humility. So with that, let's begin a little bit. One sefer, just to get us in the right frame of mind for this special evening tonight of the Yahrzeit Chaf Aleph. So I want to start with a teaching from the Tosher Rebbe. He himself was a tremendous tzaddik and was always discussing the greatness of tzaddikim. So he says like this, that the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe Melech, which is tonight, Chaf Aleph, is the 21st, says the significance in that date, in the number 21. Shu Kiminyan Hashem Ehyeh. 21 is the gematria of one of Hashem's names. It's spelled out Aleph, which is 1. A Hey is 5, then followed by Yud, which is 10. And then another Hey, which is 5, spells is the gematria 21. Ehyeh means I will be. When Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning of Chumash Shmos, is asking Hashem, how are you going to redeem them? Hashem says, I will be with them. In Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalid, in Shmos, I will be what I will be. So what does Rashi HaKadosh tell us on this? I'll be with you in this tzara, in this affliction that you're going through right now, and I'm going to be with you from all future Shivud Malchus, all future exiles that the Klal Yisrael is going to go through. Zehu Romei says is hinting to us the following idea: Ki zos tiyeh avodoso shel bal hahilula, that this is the whole avoda. This was all what Rebbe Melech was about, the Ore Rach Mimal Bnei Yisrael, in order to find mercy and compassion for the Jewish people. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Yotzei Mishibud Malchus, that Hashem should take us out of the long, bitter exile that we're in. U'heichin lahem es haderech el ha-geula shleima, and to prepare for us the ultimate redemption, which in a deeper level was the entire reason why Chassidus was brought into this world, was to prepare the world for the geula shleima. Kamosha Omer Pamachas, I'm going to come back to this statement in a little bit, but the Rebbe Melech said himself the following idea: Don't start up with me, for 2 years. Like, leave me alone for 2 years. And I could bring Mashiach, and I could bring the complete redemption. If people would stop starting up with me. We'll explain more what that means in a few minutes. V'cho yemei chayav, hispalda atzoros b'nei Yisrael. The whole time he was davening for the tzoros of Klal Yisrael. There's a story told that the Rebbe Melech once put himself into a self-imposed exile, and he was walking around, going from town to town. No one knew who he was. And after a long period, he returned back home. And as he was walking home, he heard a child screaming. And he thought to himself, oh my goodness, maybe that's my son. I hear the cries down the street. And then he stopped himself. And he says, look how selfish I'm acting. I'm more concerned that it shouldn't be my son who's crying. Where's my Ahavas Yisrael? Listen to this. He says, how could it be that I don't love every Jew as much as I love my own child? And he turned around and walked back and said, I still need to go back into exile. I still need to work on refining myself. You hear a story like this, it's Hafla Vafela, an amazing insight to the Madregas, the levels that the Rebbe Melech reached, that he felt he was criticizing himself for having more concern for his own flesh and blood, his own child, than for a complete stranger. So this is a little bit of idea of this. So he says, who mispalil umora rachmim al ha'geula shleima. He was davening that the redemption should come as his son, Rebbe Lozer, zuchusti geinu matzu yoshev l'malo, eitzel nahar godol shel zeya v'dimo shel b'nei Yisrael. So one time, after the Rebbe Melech had left this world, his son went up to Shemayim and saw him there, standing beside a river that was filled with the tears of Klal Yisrael. 2,000 years of crying, of suffering, of pogroms, of inquisitions. V'omelo avi v'kodesh, he said, I want to tovel, I want to immerse myself like a mikveh in this river of the Jewish tears. And if I would be fortunate to do so, that would bring the redemption immediately. And this is what we talk about on his yahrzeit. That comes to the value. His yahrzeit is tonight, the 21st of Adar, which is the gematria, the word Ehayeh, which is number 21. That was his whole avoda of the Rebbe Melech. Shiskayim havtochas hakosuv. That he should fulfill what it says in Pasuk, Ehayeh asher Ehayeh, Shigaleinu HaKadosh Baruch b'mheira mishibu golios mitoch rachmim v'chasodim. That Hashem should bring the ultimate geula from this. So with this in mind, let's learn a little Torah from this tzaddik on this week's parshion. Again, I'm going to read from you from this beautiful English translation of the Sefer. It's talking about, it's called the three metals, the three ingredients in divine service. So in this week's parsha, we have the commandment to build the kior. The kior was made out of copper. It was the like a round basin of water which had spigots that the Kohanim would place their hands on top of their feet, and then they would wash their hands and feet. So the Pasuk says in this week's parsha, Vasisa kior nechoshes, you should make the copper kior, vikano nechoshes l'rochtza, and it should be a pedestal, a basin for washing. Vinasata oso bein oel moed uvein hamizbeach, you should place between the tent of meeting and the mizbeach, vinasato shama mayim, and you'll put the water there. So based on this, the Rebbe is going to give us a deeper insight as to what exactly are these metals. So he says like this, Hashem commanded us to take three metals with which to make the Kohen's garment, gold, silver, and copper. The Torah is hinting that someone who wishes to enter divine service of Hashem has to enter with subdued restraint, as the Tana taught in Pirkei Avos, be exceedingly humble and lowly. That's hinted at the word gold, zahav. Each letter in the word zahav has a gematria which is smaller than the letter before it. Zion is a 7, He is a 5, and Bez is 2. So it goes down, 7, down to 5, down to 2, and the hint in that word is to make oneself smaller and smaller, which is, you know, in the business world, you're always trying to make yourself bigger and bigger and bigger, right? To be the big, to be the bigger, to be the biggest. But in Torah, in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're trying to make ourselves smaller, right? So if you want to come into this path of holiness, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to, you know, get rid of the arrogance and become humble. So that's what Zahav represents. Continues the Rebbe Melech, silver. Silver alludes to love and desire in the service of Hashem. Like the Pasuk says, Nichsof Nichsafti. I passionately desired. So the word to have a desire shares the same root as the word Kesef, silver, right? Here, working with the Gemara, the numerical value of the last letter is a sum of the values of the other two letters. So we'll look at that again. Kesef is the Chaf, which is a 20. Samach is 60, and the Pez is 80. So the 20 plus the 60, right? Higher math, that brings us to 80. So what do we learn from this? It teaches us we should double our strength and overcome all obstacles, striving higher and higher until we peak in our ability to perform divine service without end. So that's what the idea of Kesef is. So Zahav was to make ourselves humble. Kesef is the idea about being mechazik ourselves and striving. Let's come to the third type of metal. Copper is nechoshes. So nechoshes is related to the word nachash, a snake. So that's always physical things, right? Eating and drinking, right? Like that was the curse that the nachash had in Parashas Bereishis. Yeah, question, Noah?
Did Moshe build a copper snake at some point?
Correct. Yes, very good. And the commentators point out that the way he knew to build it was because the copper snake, the words nachash and nechoshes are so similar, loshen noifel loshen, so that's how he understood what the discussion of the Rashi Ramban had to understand. But yes, it's a very good point you're making. Shkoyach no. So he says that the eating and drinking, that comes from a place of impurity, right? Because that was the curse with the nachash, right? So you have to take all those things that have a source and bring them into, use them for holy things. You should eat and drink in purity for holy purposes, pure, untainted thoughts for the purpose of serving Hashem. And this way, you can use all of them for serving Hashem. So now the Rebbe Melech comes and puts all these three ingredients. Again, we discussed the deeper meaning of Zahav, the deeper meaning of Kesef, and the deeper meaning of Nechoshes. And he says that's what it makes that you should, we talked about the pasuk says you should make this the kior. Just like the kior pours out water from its faucet, Hashem commanded us to make a wash basin that will pour out an abundance of blessings through the copper. That is, by using the physical world in sanctity and purity. Its base was copper. Kano connotes a base or foundation. This implies you should make those blessings into a foundation that the Jewish people will be blessed through physical means. This is why, in the beginning, Moshe did not want to accept donations from the copper mirrors from the women, until Hashem commanded him to accept them. Because if you remember, the copper mirrors were what these Noshim Tzidkaniyos used to do to make themselves look beautiful and attractive to their husbands, so the husbands should want to continue and perpetuate the Jewish people. They would come home after a long day of being tortured, of being working as slaves, and they just wanted to give in. But these righteous women were able to ensure that the Klal Yisrael would continue. So those mirrors were used. Moshe didn't want to use these mirrors. He felt, oh, it's used for such a physical thing. How could I take that and use it as part of the Mishkan? So he quotes like this. Many people experience improper thoughts and desires, which cause a spiritual blemish because of women who are thinking improper thoughts. However, Hashem commanded women to take the mirrors from them, since Hashem knew their innermost thoughts. He knew that their intentions of looking into the mirrors to beautify themselves was sincere. They did it in order to nullify improper thoughts. That's why Hashem commanded Moshe to take the mirrors from the women. Even though this was a coarser and thicker form of physicality, more than the others, this too should be brought into holiness. So now we come back to the original part. When you talk about where the kior was supposed to be placed, I'm just going to go one back and read that again. It says, where should you place it? Menasata oso, place it bein oel moed ubein hamizbeach. You should place it between the oel moed and the mizbeach. Once you sanctify yourself using physical things, you can accomplish two things. First of all, you elevate the holiness of the shechina. That's the oel moed. And second of all, it serves as a kapara. That's what the mizbeach was. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us that nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, our shulchan, our table that we use to feed people who are hungry, to have, you know, guests at our table, that's what's mechaper for us. There's a Rabbeinu Bechaya. He doesn't quote it here, but the Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that the pious people in his time used to use their Shabbos tables, that wood would be the wood they would use for their coffin. They would be buried in the wood that they used. And the symbolism behind that was that, here, I want this to express all the chesed that I did, all the meals that I gave to people, all the anim who ate by my table, let the walls of the table, let the walls of my house, let the table that I fed people upon, let that be testified before Hashem for all the chesed that I did. And that's what he ends off and says, that's the meaning, putting it between the tent of meeting and the altar. You can accomplish both of these things, and you'll accomplish, you place the water there. What's the water? The water is chesed, is kindness and mercy. It's going to come to the Klal Yisrael. Hashem in His abundant mercy strengthen and encourage our hearts to walk on all of the holy paths. Amen. Kein yehi ratzon. So that's a little bit of teaching. But for the final piece, I just want to come back to that statement that the Tosher Rebbe is going to explain. What exactly did the Rebbe of Melech mean when he said, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone, and I'm going to bring the Geula." So for this section, again, same work, Avodas Avodah, the Tosher Rebbe was making a Seuda. He used to make meals on the Yort sites of them. Today is a big day again, tonight. Chaf Aleph Adar is a big night. L'chaim, l'chaim. Zechusum, shel habal ha'ilula, Rabbeinu, Elimelech, ben Rebbe, Eliozer, Lipman, Yogin, Aleinu, v'al kol Yisrael. Sheniske, b'mehera, v'yas Mashiach, tzidkenu. So he said like this. Yanuchu, milechalok alai, shtei shanim, v'avu, Mashiach, u'geula shlema. This is brought in the Sefer Nesiv Emuna. Dalad, hey, if you would leave me alone, I could bring the Mashiach. This applies to all of us, even nowadays, in Tavshin Pei Aleph. V'lo yomer, a person should say, "Maze nogeil, how does this affect me? Hallo, in any cholik al Rebbe Melech, chas v'shalom, I would never argue, I would never start up with the Rebbe Melech, God forbid. Ki kasher yizbonim b'leiv emes, but when a person looks and reflects deeply in their heart, yireki hadiburim halalu mechuvanim gam elov, that these words actually apply to us as well. What's the Rebbe talking about? He left a tremendous storehouse. He wrote a book, an ethical work of points a person should read and think about. He given short statements to think about. How a person should act. How a person should learn Torah. How a person should daven. How a person should say the Shema. To imagine themselves, a very big level, when saying Shema, they'd be willing to give up their lives. Again, like we learned in Tanya, chapter 18, chapter 25, that person deep inside would never do anything that would go against the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. To imagine oneself giving up their life, fulfilling the mitzvah of the Nikdashti, I would sanctify myself, Kiddush Hashem. That's how much I love God. How a person should go to bed at night, what their thoughts should be. How to break the bad character traits. How a person should be conduct their eating. All types of interaction with the physical. Super Shami commands us there. We should constantly be reviewing this. Not to move away even the smallest point away from this. We're in fact, so to speak, arguing because we're not keeping what the Rebbe told us to do. And a person can never go wrong by following the etzes of the tzaddikim. And therefore, on his yortzeit, we have to fix this. We have to accept upon ourselves we're going to fix this and to follow in his ways. To look into his tzetel koton, his words. L'kayim is devar of asher hu murer lanu, to fulfill what he instructed us to do. That will cease us from quote unquote arguing on him. And then we'll keep with the promise. Shim yinuchu l'chalak alav shtei shanim yav mashiach v'gula shlema, and we will be able to fulfill what. What he promised he would do by bringing the Geula Shlema. So again, a very auspicious day. Chaf Aleph Adar, the Yortzeit, the Rebbe of Melech. Many people travel to daven by his kever. It's a tremendous auspicious day, which is, you know, accepted. You find all sorts of groups of people going to daven there. I personally have not yet been zeiche to be in daven by the Rebbe's kever. But I think Rabbi Bashis and Rabbi Morgenstern were planning a trip last year, before a pandemic happened, of bringing Chevra over there to daven at the gravesite of the Rebbe Melech. But again, us, in our own small way, we can take from the messages of this tremendous tzaddik and connect to him on his yortzeit, which is always an auspicious time.